If you will, turn with me to Psalms 110. Psalms 110. And I guess we're all there. The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord hath sworn, and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for a beautiful day. I thank you for giving me this opportunity to preach your word. I ask you, Lord, that you comfort Brother Doug as he's in the hospital. And Lord, with the ones who couldn't be here today, I ask you to be with them. Lord, open all of our hearts up, me included, and pour out your word on us and just have your way in everything we do. And let me be your mouthpiece for just a little while. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And it is okay to say amen. I will pause every now and again. I'm not like Doug. Doug goes, how come nobody ever says amen? I said, because you don't ever stop and give us a chance. Amen. 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 There we go. This psalm, if you read into it and you really pay attention to it, this psalm looks forward to the coming of Christ to Bethlehem. The psalmist is projecting his vision to the first coming of Jesus and not the second coming. The basic outlook is toward the coming of Christ for the first time. It pictures this week of the week of suffering in the life of Christ. Sometimes people call it the Passion Week. You know, we celebrate it as the week of Easter. And this is also found in Psalms 109 also. It pictures the week of suffering from the time that he set his face toward Jerusalem to be crucified, to be buried, and then to raise again from the dead. It is pictured as a journey, and he was going for his last time. Oh, Brother Don, how he must have suffered when he realized that his days were numbered, when he thought, this is my last week here. These are my friends right here that I'm with. Just the suffering thought of that. Then came the awful time of suffering in Gethsemane when he sweated drops of blood from his brow. And then as he went on to Caiaphas' court where he was tried in a mock trial and on to Pilate, and from Pilate to Herod, and then back to Pilate again. There was the scourging with the cat of nine tails. It's a long whip with nine different prongs on it that had different things from bone and rock and glass and stuff like that and steel. And he was hit 39 times across the back. Isaiah 52:14 says that he was beaten so much that he could not, that you could not tell that he was even a human being. You guys have seen the Passion of the Christ, right? And everybody says it's really bloody and gory, but it doesn't even show that picture. Because you can still tell that he was a man. Following that, he was placed, a cross was placed upon him, and he was led to Calvary. And there was the crucifixion. And there was the shame and the suffering of the cross, and the nakedness, and the dogs licking his wounds, the backhandings, the pluckings of the beard, and the mockings and making fun of him as a king. And then that crown of thorns was placed upon his head. And they took a reed and they drove it down into his head with those great big thorns going down into his scalp. Wow. And other events, all these other events that the Bible tells about, all these sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this awful time of suffering, in this scripture, we find an unusual statement. He shall drink of the brook in the way. And if I were to title my sermon this morning, it would be A Brook in the Way. Now, church, this brook symbolizes a refreshing drink of water. That brook is a stream that has fresh water from which no one needs to fear that there's anything wrong with it. And you can just lean down and get you a nice drink of cool water. A couple weeks ago, I went up to my camp and I had to get my lawnmower to bring it back. That's a long story, but I go up there and we have a nice little stream that runs behind my camp. And it is absolutely beautiful. And if I can just sit for a little while and listen to the creek running. Sometimes all we need to do is listen to a brook running. And you'll know what I'm talking about here in a minute. You'll know what I'm talking about. And then again yesterday, we go up to my camp Friday and the Lord just added more to the sermon. And I'll try not to be any more than 30 minutes this morning, but we'll see. The psalm is likened unto a king in a battle. There is a king leading his forces, and the day is very hot. The desert is dry and arid, and the king comes to a place where there's a refreshing brook. And he says, there is a brook in the way. The king stops on that hot day, and him and his men, and they bend down and they get that refreshing drink of water. Now, what is the brook of the way of Christ? This week of Christ, what is that brook? This brook is a little stream that runs across the week of suffering in the life of Jesus Christ. Now get the picture very carefully, and you'll find a beautiful truth here. Here is Jesus in his week of suffering, and there's no time of laughing. There's no time of any of that stuff going on. There's no enjoyment as far as we can see. Everything is dark and gloomy, and there's suffering and shame, and the suffering of the crown of thorns, and the suffering and the agony of the cross, and yet trickling across this week in the life of Christ is a little brook in the way. Something refreshing, something delighted Jesus Christ in that week of suffering, and it's called a brook in the way. Like a fresh stream would refresh a weary traveler, that brook in the way. Now, what was this brook in the way? Was this brook in the way, you know? And I started thinking that thought. So I looked through all the scriptures and I'm trying to figure out what is the brook in the way in which Jesus crossed that gave him refreshment. Was it the home of Mary and Martha where he spent the last few days of his life before he was being tried? Was it the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus where they served him and they worshiped him and they cooked for him? And they loved him. And I'm telling you, if you cook for somebody, you got to love them. Amen. What was that oasis? I don't know what it was. Maybe this brook in the way, this little refreshing stream of water, this stream that trickled across the path of Jesus was the wonderful time spent with Mary and Martha and Lazarus in their home. What was this oasis? Was it the love of Mary Magdalene? The woman whose body had been possessed of 7 devils out of which Jesus had cast him. She no doubt loved him more than most on the face of the earth. She stood with him all when all others had forsaken him. She stood beside the sepulcher when no one else would. She was there the first in the morning when all others had fled. Was the love of Mary Magdalene the brook in the way for Jesus? What was the refreshing oasis that crossed the path of our Lord through the week of suffering? Was it the thief on the cross who cried, "Mercy, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom"? And Jesus replied, just like he does to us today. Just like he does to us today. He replied, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Church, if you just open your heart up to him, you'll get those words. Was not Jesus dying that sinners might be saved? Was not this the purpose for which he came into the world? Even now in his death, the thief cries, "Lord, don't forget me. I know I'm a thief. I know I'm no good. But don't forget me. Remember me when you come into your kingdom." Was this the brook in the way? Was it the woman who stayed until the end? Now, church, Peter was out cursing in the garden. Judas had betrayed him with a kiss on his brow. The disciples had forsaken him and fled. But thank God, a little handful of women stood beside the cross. They tried to give him something to help with his sufferings. And they did give him their loyalty. They stayed until the end. Was this the brook in the way?
The Bible doesn't tell us what it was. We don't know exactly what it was, but we do know there was something in the week of suffering of Jesus Christ that was a refreshing spring to Him that would refresh a weary traveler across the desert. It was a brook in the way. And if I can just have a little bit of leeway here for just a second, Brother Don, I think of myself, you know, and I think, for me, what was this brook in the way for Jesus? In my mind. In my mind, Brother Don, I think he might have closed his eyes while he was praying. Those big drops of blood was running off of his forehead. I think he might have looked out to April 6th in 1993. He's an all-knowing God. He knows all things that's going to happen, that has happened, and that will happen. He knows all of these things. And April the 6th, 1993, I was a young man headed toward the pits of hell, wide open. Wide open. The gas pedal was to the floor. And one of my best friends was preaching a sermon. I don't know what he was preaching on. But I stepped out. And I made my first step. And I was saved on that first step. And if it was my opinion, if you ask John Smith what that brook in the way was, I think it was everybody in the history of the world that was going to step out and take that first step and give their life to Christ. That's what I think that was his brook in the way. But I don't know. I am not sure. Now, I only have two thoughts today, and I'm not going to be much longer. The two thoughts are, one, every Christian should be a brook in the way. Amen. Amen. So many times in my life, I have met such brooks. Have you in your life been withered down with a load of heartaches and problems? Have you thought that life was not ever worth living one more minute? Have you wondered if you could just make it through the day? Then suddenly, in a wonderful way, God sent you a person who was a brook in the way. Maybe a smile when no one else was smiling. Maybe just a pat on the back when no one else would give it. Maybe an encouraging word when no one else could quite give an encouraging word to you. Was this to you like a brook in the way? Don't you think it would be a wonderful thing to help that weary traveler? To help carry his load with just a little pat on his back? A smile or just a simple, "I love you," can go a long ways. Or maybe a helping hand. You and I, church, should be a brook in the way. Amen. You know, I was thinking some people who was a brook in the way to me. Brother Don Kinzer. I was at work and I was beat down. So many things was going on and I felt like I wasn't measuring up. And the next thing you know, I get a little text. And it's something about Chuck Norris. And if you know Don, he sends these things, and I begin to smile. And then a little later, he sends me a text that says, "I love you, brother." Don will never know how much that meant to me. Brother Ben, right here, this morning, he sent me a little, I guess I got it this morning, I don't know when you sent it, a little song, "Mr. Ford." You know, Ben don't know what that means to me, to receive a little text from somebody or just a little hug on the neck. You know, I could name all through the church all kinds of people. Brother Carol Prince. I think me and Brother Carol are pretty close. Carol's been praying for me when no one else knew what was going on, and he's still praying for me. And I thank him for that. And I can go to Carol in confidence, and I know that Carol's the only one that knows what he's praying about, just me and him. And I thank him for being a brook in the way for John Smith. Brother Doug Doss, our pastor, works at Toyota, but he's about a quarter of a mile away from where I work. We work in the same department. No reason in the world for him to even come over where I'm at. And there's been times at work that I've been beat down. Didn't feel like I could make it. The next thing I know, I turn around and I see a shine glowing off of his head where he's bald. And he comes over with a big old smile on his face. Sometimes all we need is a smile. And he hugs my neck. And he says, "I love you, John." Church, sometimes that's all we need. Sometimes we need a little more than that, and I do need more than that sometimes. And sometimes you'll find yourself looking around, and instead of looking forward, I'm going to come out for just a minute. Instead of looking forward and plowing the rows like we're supposed to, Brother Don, and we're supposed to keep our head facing forward, we look around about things that's going on in our lives. We look around at other people and we'll say, well, this feller has this, and this one has this. And we work at the same place, and he's got a new truck and new four-wheelers and new this and new that. Listen, I know y'all might think it. I don't think these things, but I do, and I'm thinking, what in the world? I've got a 1997 four-wheeler that we have to work on every time we jump on it, me and Tank. I drive an old car. You get all these things, and you think about it, and you're going, man, how do these people get all this stuff? So, you know, Brother Josh Harless comes up to me, and he hugs my neck. He goes, what's wrong, John? I said, well, ain't nothing wrong. He said, don't lie to me. There's something wrong. So I explained it to him. He said, John, these people that you're talking about live with mommy and daddy in their basement. They drive their Ford Mustangs. They've got two or three four-wheelers. They've got all these things, but they don't have Jesus. They don't have what's important. John, you do. Don't let this stuff beat you down. Don't be looking at other people. Set your eyes on the prize and go forward. And that's what we need to do. Sometimes, church, we need more than just an encouraging word. Sometimes we need somebody to get a bucket of that water and throw it up in our face like Brother Josh Harless. And if you want a shot of water like that, just go talk to him. He don't hold back if you don't know him. Amen. I almost got excited right there. Amen. Every Christian should be a brook in the way. There was a young couple at a church we used to attend that came in, and them and their little baby got baptized one day. And I was beat down. And I sat and I watched that baptism. And I watched an old guy in that church that never moved, that never said anything. And I looked over and he had a tear running down his face. And he said, hallelujah! Sometimes a hallelujah in a church uplifts somebody to where they can make it through the week. Sometimes an encouraging word is what you need. Amen. Listen, church, everybody has difficult times. And there ought to be some brooks in this building today. There ought to be some people to cheer others on their way. There ought to be some folks who are brooks in the way. Everybody has tough times. Everybody has problems. Nobody needs insults. Nobody needs a crabby disposition. Nobody needs slander. Everybody has a tough time. Here and now and then. Everybody has the fear of the Middle East. I do. I watch the news all the time. Tracy has to turn the channel. I'm addicted to it. I love watching the news. And it's always bad. Why do I want to see these bad things? I don't know. Everybody is afraid of war. I know some of us, we got young men in here today that serve in our military. They might not be afraid, but I'm afraid for them. And I pray for them all the time. They could get called up at any time and have to go fight for us. That's encouragement to me that we've got that many young men in this church that's willing to stand up for us. Amen. Everybody is afraid of having a heart attack. Brother Don's had a couple. And it's not fun, is it, Don? Not at all. Everybody is afraid of cancer. Everybody is concerned about Syria and Afghanistan. I am. Everybody has had a... Everybody has had a heavy heart, and everybody has heavy burdens from time to time. Let's see to it, church, that we cross their path and that we're that brook in the way when they're heavy burden. Let's see to it that we're encouraging in a time of suffering and sorrow. As Christians, we need to be a brook in the way. Amen. Amen. And my last thought, we need to have a brook in the way. What do you mean by that, preacher? Well, I'm glad you asked. I mean this, you should have a person that you could go to be your brook in the way. I've got several people I can go to, and they are my brook. I know that we have it rough, and I know we have troubles, and I know we have problems. I know we have difficulties and heartaches. I know that. But we need to have a brook in the way, somebody that you can go and talk to. Now you say, preacher, what is a brook in the way for me? One brook in the way is the church. Now I'm not talking about this church. I'm talking about the church. Amen. I'm talking about the church, the bride, the one that's going home to be with Jesus. Every church is another. Every church ought to be a brook in the way. What do I mean by that? I mean that I want this church, Word of Light Community Church, to be a kind of church that can be a brook in the way to everyone who attends. No matter who's preaching, no matter who's teaching, no matter what kind of songs we sing, when they walk in here, they should pass and they should have to step across or wade through a brook in the way. Amen, church. I'm going to preach here in just a minute if you don't watch. Amen. I want to be refreshed. When I come to church, I want to feel like I've been in a service. I want to feel refreshed when I come in here. When I walk out those doors, praise God, it says we need to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. When I walk out those doors, I want to feel so refreshed that I can start preaching on those front steps. That's how we need to feel when we walk in and out of a church. We need to feel refreshed. And if you don't, then some of us are failing as being a brook. We're failing. There are folks here today whose hearts are heavy and broken and who are discouraged and lonely. There ought to be a brook in the way for these individuals. There ought to be a brook in the way as we stand and I read the scriptures. As we stand up here and we preach today, there ought to be a brook in the way. There ought to be a brook in the way when we have our sweet fellowship before and after church, when we're hugging people's necks. There ought to be sweet water flowing when we're singing the beautiful songs of praise and worship before and after preaching. You know, we should be the brook in the way and not a stagnant stream. And so many times we're there. Word of Light's there. Every church I've ever went and preached to has had a time when they're a stagnant stream. Let's not be that stream, church. Let's not be that. When you come to Word of Light Community Church, we want you to have a place where you can lay your burdens down for a while and rejoice that we are serving a living Savior. When you come through those doors and you got a hold of your wheelbarrows, and each one of us has got a wheelbarrow full of junk. Amen. I hope I got some people's attention. You full of junk carrying your wheelbarrows in here with both hands on the handles. And you want to wonder why when we're singing those beautiful songs of praise that we can't lift our hands. It's because we got a hold of our junk. It's time that we bring them up here to the altar like the young men. I don't know if it was a woman. There were some people come to the altar, praise God, and they laid it all out there so they could praise Him today. If you lay all your stuff out of your wheelbarrow, don't get back up and put it back in there and carry it back to your seat. Leave it here. Leave all your burdens at the altar. Praise God. I hope I didn't break the mic. Amen. Amen. There are people here this morning that are sick. My boy's sick. He won't admit it. He got mad when we took him to the doctor. But he's sick. There are people here today that this might be their last year of their life. We don't know. This might be our last day. We don't know. I just pray that Word of Light can be a brook in the way for those who are sick in their time of suffering. Brother Mark has got a brook in his way right now. Doug gave him part of his liver. How many people is willing to be that brook in the way? That's a mighty rushing river. A person willing to lay down their life. Just like Jesus Christ laid down His life for us, Doug could have been, and still could be, laying his life down for Mark. What a friend. What a friend. We need to be that refreshing stream across the path. There are people in this service this morning who will face a year for the first time without a father or without a mother. There are people in this service who will face a year without a husband or a wife for the first time. There are people here this morning who will face a year without a delight or joy, but with a dread because someone is gone. And I tell you what, church, if this is the last time I ever open the Word of God and I preach, please don't be sad at my funeral. Please don't carry that with you and say, wow, I wish Brother John was here. Listen, Brother John is going to be happier than he's ever been. He's going to be more excited. Hey, listen, I can preach up there all the time and I'll have all kinds of amens. Praise God. Praise God. But there are burdens and there's heartaches, and God has placed across the path where they are walking a place of refreshment, a place that they can feel refreshed, like that brook in the path of Jesus Christ in the last week of His life. There was a brook in the way. You know, I like jokes and I like humor and I like to laugh. And I got to tell you guys a little funny, and then I'm going to close out. I got called to preach a couple weeks ago out of the church, and they're having church in a fire department. And I was like, wow, I've never preached in a fire department. That's pretty cool. I'm pretty excited about it. So I tell my buddies at work, and you know, I work with some guys who are very sarcastic and very funny, and they make you laugh, and they make me laugh. And I said, hey guys, I said, I get to preach out so-and-so at this church, and it's out here, and it's at a fire department. And they went, must have heard you was preaching on hell. Kind of funny, huh? Yeah. You know, church, I like funny stuff, and I like laughter, and there's nothing wrong with laughing in a church. We ought to feel like we could come in here and be open and can laugh about things. And I think God is pleased with laughter. I think He is, or He would never let me preach. I don't think it ought to be inappropriate or obnoxious or anything like that, but I certainly think that a little bit of laughter here and there causes God to be pleased with His people. To be pleased because you forget about those burdens and you forget about those heartaches and you forget about those sorrows and that load that you're carrying with a little bit of laughter. You know, laughter's been proven to extend your life. So I think it's of God. Amen. Amen. There are folks here who have lost loved ones, and they need a brook in the way. You know, I've walked in many pulpits time and time again when I was discouraged and I could hardly face even preaching the sermon, but to stand up in front of people and preach. And as I stood to preach, the service was to me as a brook in the way. Before I got through the preaching, I was feeling better. I was feeling refreshed. Why? There was a brook in the way, church, and that was God's Word. How I thank God for this church and how I thank God for the place where we can come and lay down our burdens and we can leave them here and we don't have to pick them back up and we don't have to take them with us. You can forget them for just a little while and we can rejoice for a while. And we can say hallelujah from time to time and amen and raise our hands and praise and worship God for just a little while. A brook in the way. As you have your burdens and problems and heartaches and sorrows, I hope that this can always be a place where you can come and feel like there's a drink of water here for me. I trust that hungry hearts that come here to Word of Light can find a brook in the way. And I trust that people who have laid loved ones in the grave, that they will look forward to Sunday and Wednesday knowing that there's a brook in the way here at this church. And I hope that those of you who's in the military and that your friends looking at you, I hope they ought to know that when y'all come here to church, you know there's a brook in the way. And if you're scared, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong. Have courage. Y'all know what courage is, right? Courage is going and doing it anyway, even though you are afraid. And I believe we have some courageous young men and women in this church. Go and do it anyway. Amen. This old world needs a brook in the way. Now wait a minute. A brook is to carry water, right? Amen. Jesus said, I am the living water. Are you thirsty this morning? Are you thirsty for something this morning that you have not found and you've been looking for it? You are thirsting for Jesus Christ and you just ain't figured it out yet. Have you sought peace in the world? You won't find it there. You are thirsting for Christ and you don't even know it. For He is the living water. He is that refreshing brook. And no one has ever come to Christ and has ever been disappointed about it. Because Christ always quenches your thirst. Way better than Gatorade. Amen. My Bible says, "Lo, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the water." And God said, God in Isaiah 55:1. In Revelation 22:17 it says, "And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." If you're thirsting for something in your life, come to Christ and find Him in that brook in the way. If you'd like to take Christ as your Savior today, you would find that He is your brook in the way. He is that refreshment in that hour of trial. He is that load that carries with you or takes it away from you in the time when you need it taken away. He is the burden bearer of times of burdens, and He is the comforter in times of sorrow. Jesus Christ is that brook in the way. That's my sermon, Brother Don. And if you guys know that I usually get pretty crazy, today I wasn't too bad. I feel like the Lord didn't want me to do that too much, so I only come out one time. But seriously, if you're feeling down, you're feeling burdened, come up here and lay it down. There's all kinds of young men that's already come up here and women. Come on up and lay your burdens down. Don't pick them back up. Don't take them back out the door with you. Walk out feeling refreshed. Walk out into that mission field and try to lead somebody to Christ. Show them that brook in the way. Maybe even splash a little bit of water up in their face from time to time. Let them know who you are, who you stand for, and you are that brook in the way. That's my sermon. Amen.